Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
That your promises and your word remain. Your word is true, that all things are possible in Jesus, that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Let's sing about his goodness this morning. Hallelujah. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, because it's you who gives me strength. Clap your hands with me. Hey. Nothing is him all things are possible. There's no God like our God. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that when we call upon the name of Jesus, we are saved. You said, call unto me and I will answer you. We thank you, God, that you hear us today. We thank you that you hear your children, Father. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Yes, you are. When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You deliver me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life. Again, when I call.
begin to lift your hands to worship the Lord in this place.
He's worthy, he's worthy. Hallelujah.
In the presence of my
crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter as your love.
Stay with me.
In way.
Thank you, Father. We say thank you, Father, for making us brave. You know, this year coming seems like it's a leaving the shore, out in the waves kind of year coming. Thank God that we don't have to go in our own strength. We can dare to believe, as we were singing. We can place our trust and one that will hold our hand. That wherever God is leading us, that He's there to carry us through the moment. Amen. We thank that faith gives us confidence to go through daily circumstances. And whatever God calls us to, it's our trust. Not really the size of our trust. Just a little trust in a big God that lets us be out in the waves in whatever God calls us to. Amen. Can we give God just a big hand clap of praise? You know, my name is Mike Cantrell. I'm one of the pastors here. I'd like to welcome you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's been an awesome December. As we go into January, this is so appropriate. Some of the worship we were doing, we're going into our annual prayer and fasting on January 4th, and the theme this year is Dare to Believe. That's the theme. And the devotional is already available online, but next week we'll give you a paper, you know, a booklet devotional. And we pray 3 times a day and 5 days a week. And it's just awesome, January 4th through 8th. So make plans to do that with us. Will y'all do that? Some way, find a way to participate in that, all right? God bless you. We have a great service planned for you. Why don't we take a moment and greet one another, and we'll get right back together.
What's happening at Bethel this December? The church office will be closed from Friday, December 18th through Monday, January 4th. There is no service Wednesday, December 30th. However, the church office will be open the 30th and 31st for your end-of-the-year donations. On December 31st, it's our New Year's Eve service at 9:30 p.m.
The Bethel Momentum Stewardship Ministry invites you to start the new year with new classes. Presenting 48 Days to the Rock You Love, starting Tuesday, January 12th, and Financial Peace University, starting Thursday, January 14th. For more information, visit BethelMomentum.org.
Hi, Bethel. This is Pastor Philip Steele from Minnesota. Excited about Mission Sunday at Bethel. We're focusing on Pastor Kevin Lynette, what they're doing in Mumbai, India. Let's watch.
Jesus, more precious than gold. Jesus, greatest love story told. Holy, the Lion.
Amazing what God is doing in the nations. Kevin and Lynette actually are in town. I don't think they're here at this service yet, but it's awesome having our pastors from Mumbai here. And Barry and Jessica Lee, who are campus missionaries at Tennessee State, have been there with them over the last year, and it's just been a very fruitful time. There's a mission trip this summer, if you'd like to go to Mumbai, that you can sign up for, as well as a few others, including the Dominican Republic, which I'll be leading January 4th. You could come with me. That would be awesome. So there's a lot of ways to get involved in the nations, and today is our missions offering. So in a moment when we receive the offering, we'll have the two bags that go around. We'll have a regular offering as well as an opportunity to give, as we do every month, into all that we sow into the nations through our missions offering. When you came in, you should have received a little bulletin like this with our miracle notes on it, and then at the bottom, there is a connection point card. You can just take a moment and tear that off if you would. We would love everyone to do this. We have a ink pen should be in the seat pocket there in front of you. And we just want to give you a moment to complete this. On the front, you fill out as much as you feel comfortable with. Maybe you're updating your address if you have a change of address. If you're a guest with us, we would love for you to connect with us. Let us know you were here. Tell us how you found us. And this could be your gift to us today by just placing this in the offering in a few moments. On the back, there's ways to get involved. And there's a special place there for prayer requests and praise reports. We pray over these every week. So why don't we take a moment and complete this, and I'll come back and we'll receive our offering.
Thank you.
you can just continue to complete that. And again, everyone could just drop that in the offering. Bethel, there's several ways you can give. You can use that envelope in front of you. You can make a check out to Bethel. You can use our kiosk in the lobby, or everybody's seen to be new favorite way is our little PushPay app that you can get for your smartphone. It's an easy and safe way to give. As we go into giving, thinking both of the regular offering and today the missions offering, I was reminded of this passage in John chapter 12. It's not really a Christmas moment. It's actually Passover, prior to Jesus' death. But I just thought about how worship, generosity, is really just part of our worship. And sometimes we think worship is singing songs or lifting our hands. But we look here and we see Mary at this Passover supper in verse 3. It says, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus. See, when you worship, we're anointing the feet of Jesus. We're giving back worship and praise to Him. We're giving Him glory that's due Him, the weight that's worth His name. And wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. Today, when we worship, even as we'll do here in a moment, there's something that fills the house of perfume, some aroma that goes up before God. It says, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he was about to betray Him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? Anytime you find generosity, you'll find selfishness battling for control. Any moment that God tempts me to be generous, there's another great temptation that comes to me to be stingy. And no doubt that we will frequently be tempted in the area of our greatest weakness. This was Judas Iscariot's weakness, his limp. And here he's tempted with it, as we see in the scripture. And he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said, leave her alone. What I'm reminded of when it comes to generosity, God wants to help us turn our area of biggest potential defeat into our greatest victories that we live in. And today, just know that as you're giving, whether it be today of tithes and offerings here to the local church, or in the blue bag, the second bag that comes around, into missions, as you're doing that, you're defeating selfishness, you're defeating control, and you're worshiping God in a way that only you can when you're being generous. Amen? So as the ushers prepare, I want to pray for you. And you can, again, drop your connection card in the offering bag. And again, the red bag that'll come by is regular tithes. The blue bag helps us separate out our mission, our monthly missions offering. All right? Father, thank you so much, God. God, we see in this picture a beautiful picture of worship. What people would think is we need to hold on to sell, to invest in another way that would come back to us as selfishness. God, you tell us to give it away. God, I pray that you would mark us today with this kind of Mary generosity. God, that we would freely give to you. And Lord, today I pray that you bless every person that's sowing a seed today here at Bethel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greater than you.
Can you testify and say one time with me? Say,
He's a Savior. Nobody great. I love the way you love me, Jesus. And there's nobody great.
You are great and greatly to be praised. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Life is sweeter and sweeter as the days go.
As we get into your word, you would help us. It's the entrance of your word that brings light and life. And we pray that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would shine bright in here today. God, I am asking you to think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let my spirit man and the spirit of each sitting here today be enriched, be empowered. God, let us be stronger because we've heard the word specifically for us. Bless us, God. Rout out the enemy, bind them on every hand, and give us deliverance and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody greater than you. Last time.
Nobody great, nobody great, nobody greater than you.
All right, you can give God a hand clap of praise. We're going to spend most of our time today concluding our series on miracles in 2 Kings 5. That whole chapter. We'll also visit 2 Kings 6. We might not read the whole thing. We'll paraphrase some of it. Then 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. And we'll start here and see where the Lord will take us, which means I don't fully know where we're going yet. I just follow Him. But just for fun of it. Okay, now the first thing that I want to do is throughout this entire series of miracles, one particular miracle that I'm believing for that it's only the beneficiary is a female in terms of her womb is been that of the barren womb. And, you know, it's that kind of thing that each of the services, I believe, that come up about miracles, maybe not one, I just want to be exact here, but definitely two, the subject of barrenness has come up either on the altar or as some type of a declaration from the pulpit. And even while I was studying the scripture, I came across a point of scripture in my study that had absolutely nothing to do with what I was going to teach today. But yet I can hear the Lord saying, it is a promise for families in here today. And in typical form of the enemy, it's almost as if this word is almost a distraction from what needs to be said. But I love our personal God, and I'm just going to read a scripture for you to hold on to if this promise is for you. And then I need you, even beyond this moment, to make this promise personal. It's someone else's story, but it's specifically to be applied to you. 2 Kings 4, verse 16. Elijah is being served by a woman who is barren, who has no children. It's nothing to say she's barren, but she has no children. And he's trying to figure out what he can do for her. So this is not even her request. So you may have been even too afraid to ask God to open up your womb, but it's okay. And he said, at this season, about this time, next year, at this season, about this time, next year, ye shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant. But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elijah has said to her. Now, this word is to you. This word is for those of you in desire. The enemy would try to tell you to embrace the reality that you face in terms of barrenness or in terms of not knowing why you don't have a child yet. But what I'm telling you is the word of the Lord, without emotion, that around this time next year, the promise to seem to be exclusive to this woman is the promise that's being extended to you. And you might be like Sarah, laughing because you've tried everything already. When she was told that she would have a child in old age. But I would like for you to receive the word of the Lord, because the promise is beyond you. It's for you in one sense, but it's for a testimony in another, for other people. So that's it. That's all on that part. You know, but let's learn here. So I'm telling you the word of the Lord. I'm not guessing about it. I'm not hoping that you like what I'm saying. I'm doing my job, which is get stuff from God and say it. And when you hear something, either from God or from a trustworthy source, how you receive it is by saying amen, which simply means I agree. Amen. Mary was told by the angel she was going to have a child, but she still had to agree with it. She had to say, be it unto me, as you said, be it unto me. So hearing the word and doing nothing with it won't help you. Hearing a word and saying, God, yes, I trust you. Because if you don't have this moment, you will not be able to trace it back. The prophetic comes to announce something before it happens so that when it happens, you can give God more praise and you can trust him more. This time next year, you hold a child. Amen. God, I thank you. I thank you that we're going to have a church full of babies. I thank you. I'm going to do a lot of dedications. I thank you that the world changers that we've been preaching about are going to show up in the womb. God's always given us an answer, and it's always in a person unpolluted by the world, given a second chance to embrace his principles versus the world's principles. And I'm going to tell you this. Y'all making me be a pastor instead of preach the word to you right now. I'm going to tell you this now. It's just like the children of Israel. If you and I don't, Eddie, take advantage of the divine assignment given from God that's over our life as a church, if we count it as a small thing, a light thing, a little thing, a cute slogan, reach the city, touch the world, oh, it's so cute. What will happen is you will be unaware anymore that you are being stubborn, hard-hearted, and disobedient to the word of the Lord to you. You'll just become unaware. But a new generation will come up. And they will take the fragments of the word that we got in abundance, and they'll run and take the city. You don't want to fall asleep because you've gotten into the traditional Christian rut. No, you go to church, you try to live right, you fail, you repent. You know, you think about praying and reading your Bible, think about witnessing. You don't do it, but one time in a month, maybe you just get to it a little bit. I'm going to do a little popcorn scripture. Oh, I just pop open my Bible this morning and read something. Oh, I'm going to make sure I put my little worship music on. Oh. Sorry, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to help you break out of a pattern. It's a pattern. Nobody can live your life for you. You are not going to get closer to God just by showing up in a big meeting and not having intimacy and conversation with him afterward. And that's something we're going to, but guess what? Here's the good news for you. Let's get you a little lighter and fluffier and get you up. Okay? You have a chance starting January 3rd, 4th, to turn down your plate and all the stuff you normally do. You have a chance. I have a chance to mark off a portion of time that's exclusively dedicated to God for his purpose, to get my whole heart, my whole mind, all of my time. And I'm going to come to church or wake up at home at 6, noon, at lunchtime, and 7 at night, and I'm going to pray and cry out to God, and I'm going to write down what the Lord is saying to me, how he wants me to live, what patterns he wants me to initiate in my life. And then I'm going to decide at the end of those 5 days whether God wants me to stay on a consecration. I know you weren't expecting that. Because guess what? For where we're going, I'm sorry to be the one to have to tell you this. It's going to take a little bit more than we did in 2015. Because see, either, I'm sorry, I'm going to get to this mess, I'm going to try, but I got to work with you. Because either we're going to surrender to what he's saying willfully, or you're going to be put in a move that makes you submit. Now, if we are in certain types of peril, you're going to hope the church call prayer meetings where all the saints show up and calling on God together so we can all reach him. But sometimes when life seems to be going along as it should, we're not desperate enough. It takes a tragedy. It takes a 9/11 or something. You know where 9/11s are prevented? You know where ISIS is defeated? He's defeated in prayer meetings and consecrations and on our knees. You know where the enemy is trying to make you feel you have your least power? Our most power is when we're a house of prayer for the nations, where we intercede. When God searches for a man to stand in the gap, and the scripture said he found none, well, we're saying we're going to have a few thousand people that's going to raise their hand and be in church crying out to God. Amen. Yes, you're going to come. You're going to come, especially if you've never come, especially if you're new to the church, especially if, you know, you don't even know if you like to pray, especially if you don't know what to do in prayer, especially if you can't pray longer than a minute. You're going to sit in here and for an hour and figure it out so that you can go home and get good 10 minutes in. Yeah, good. It's okay. This is how we all have to learn. So we're going to shake the turkey off. Because it's on me too. My eyes is heavy right now. Okay? We just got to shake it off. But don't make yourself a good workout plan that y'all writing down. I know, because I'm just going to eat now because it don't matter. And in 2016, I'm gonna stop eating for your own personal benefit. I'm talking about stopping eating so that you can get rid of all the stuff that's clouding your judgment. All right, I have no time to play with you now. That's it. So all of y'all, raise your hand if you're going to be joining us about two weeks, January 4th, on fasting and praying, which will give you a bulletin to let you know how to do it responsibly. We're not telling you to go out there and do something crazy. We ain't telling you not to take your medicine. Okay? Don't say, Mama Pastor said we fasting. Don't take nothing. No, I didn't say that. Okay? We'll give you some instructions that will help you do it responsibly. But raise your hand. Taylor, wasn't it about this time last year you told me you was at my house and you said you wouldn't go fast? And then you end up having to do what? Yeah, he fasted about a week. So you might be like Taylor was last year. I'm just messing with him because he beat me in a basketball game. And I didn't want to say that without saying something I beat him in. I beat him in fasting. Okay, so raise your hand up high if you're going to be joining the church in the fast at the beginning of the year. Keep it up. What I'm asking you to do with your hand up is inconvenience yourself at least once a day during the fast. Get to a prayer meeting at 6 or at noon or at 7. And if you find the only reason you can't make a prayer meeting is because you're sleepy, that's not good enough. If the only reason you can't make it at noon is because you can make it. Noon, one of them you can make. Okay, put your hand down. That took a while, Jesus, but you know your people. Oh, just laugh at it. It's funny. All right, 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Here is the story of a man. There's a story of really three types of people that I want to see that have miraculous things happen, not just for them as individuals, but eventually for a whole nation of people. We talked about miracles that depend exclusively on Jesus really coming to you. We talked about the miracle of creation. The earth was darkness and void. And God said, that's a miracle. The natural course of things was just more darkness. Darkness can only produce more darkness. But he said, light come. We talked about the miracles that are about you flagging Jesus down with your faith. Now these miracles we're going to talk about come about through obedience. Through obeying some of the truths of God. The way God said it, not the way you might prefer to do it. You get instruction about doing something in a certain sequence. Many of us, during the holiday season, as we put things together, broke the sequence. The item doesn't quite function like it was designed to, and we've learned to live with a crooked table. But the miracles take place because you are obedient. Amen. Just whoever you are, I need you to stay with me. Make up for all the lack of amens. Okay, verse 1 for me indicates us articulating the problem. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and he had high favor because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. Here is Syria, who is Israel's arch enemy. They are constantly in some type of battle or some type of exchange. And here is the king who is winning those battles, not because of their military might, so to speak, even though they may be strong. It's because he says that the Lord has given them the victory. And I don't really like reading that all the time, because you mean to tell me I could live as a child of God, but God would give the person that's my adversary a victory over me? Why? Why would that happen? I'm going to tell you, in the purposes of God, not everything that is going wrong in your life or calamitous has to do with they're evil and you're good. There are certain things that happen in your life because God is chasing you. God will send you a little whooping. You can't actually get in trouble with God. And I know sometimes we feel that our private life is our private life. My private life is my private life. But let me tell you where your private life shows up in the fruit you can produce, or the lack of fruit you can produce, or the things, the borders and the barriers that you have let fall down, and things can come in. And for whatever reason, the wicked, the Bible says all things created for him and by him, even the wicked, for his benefit. But he was a mighty man of valor. This guy on the enemy side was given some praise. He was a mighty man of valor, but yet he was also a leper. Another way to look at this man was handsome. This is what the word would denote, or he was well in form or in beauty. This is what the name Naaman means. The valor would speak of his integrity. And I want to pause here, because all of us were created in the image of God, but all are not submitted to God, but we all have the marks of his character and characteristics. So sometimes in our being extremely Christian, we can be critical and criticize and find no value in anyone who's not a Christian. And I'm telling you that there are people who are not Christians yet who do have some characteristics that are good. And you don't have to call their good bad because they don't know Christ. You're not really helping them know Christ. I know that might be a strange new thought for you, but you got to receive it. Because when I was in the world, I was deceived. I thought I was a whole lot better person than I was. And I didn't do a lot of the things that other people did. Cornelius was a centurion on the enemy side, but God considered him devout, and his prayers came up like a memorial before God. So don't count people out just because they don't live exactly like you live. That doesn't mean you can excuse their bad behavior, but you don't have to just dismiss their good stuff. All right, maybe we're going to get there for you. Now, the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord thus, or he told the king thus, and he spoke the little girl, and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes, and he brought the letter of the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man who has leprosy. Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me. Now, here it is that, again, the Syrians were the enemies of the Israelites. They were constantly in battle back and forth. You can read the story earlier in Kings where Ahab and the 32 kings and all of them were having conflict. They had sent a letter previously saying, the Syrians did, to the king of Israel saying, look, we're going to come in and take your gold, your silver, and all your wives and everything. And they said, fine. Then they sent another letter and said, no, we're going to come and send somebody to search. They ended up having a fight. God helped them. They were constantly in wars. And now the war or time of peace has come, but they've been sending raiding parties. And in these raiding parties, a little Israeli girl is captured and made a slave or a servant in a house. And she looks upon this man of valor who is a leper. He's looked good. You know you look good when you got leprosy and you still looking good. The white with leprosy, still looking good. And somehow she should hate him. Somehow she should be so upset that another human being has enslaved her that she should not give him honor. She should not give him respect. She should give him poison in his drink. But instead of doing that, she gives him the good news that the Lord God Jehovah is still with us, that the Lord God still uses people, that the Lord God still has power to heal, power to save. He still has power. And I wish that my master, the person that took me away, I wish that he could get to where I'm from so that he could be made whole. Yes. This girl had lived such a life with this sinner, this enemy, that at the simplest appeal, she was able to turn him from an enemy and bring him into friendship with her, where he trusted her words so much he went to the king. And this is powerful. How do you and I live when it comes to the good news? Do you live in a world where when you're around bad people, you just stay away from them? Do you live in a world where your boss is full of profanity and full of evil things and you just try to avoid him or reprove and rebuke him all the time? Or do you try to study those who have authority over you and rule over you and leadership over you and study what their impediment is and study what their problem is or their challenge is and say, you know what, this is where I want to help at. Because I know you don't have an answer to leprosy because leprosy has not been on record as being healed in Syria. It's not been on record as being healed in all of Israel. In fact, the only thing you could do with leprosy is go to the priest, have them judge what type it is, whether it's going to be something that comes and goes away or something that's going to be there for a lifetime, and then you have to spend your lifetime saying unclean. Notice how, however, the godly world has a pushing aside almost of the leper, but the king in the world is embracing the leper. I'm trying to show you that the good news is not just for Israel. The good news is for the Gentile. The good news is for those people that we have counted out. The miracle didn't happen in Israel. In fact, the Bible says nobody had been healed of leprosy, period, except. And I'll get to that part in a minute. And he goes to the king, and he sends a letter. And the guy, when the king of Israel gets the letter, he's saying to himself, how can I help this? And my God, can I fix leprosy? They don't want me to fix leprosy. They want to fight me. I know this conflict. The first miracle is that this little girl has enough sense to create space to speak to her master about the good news that God can bring. Then we learn that there is something on the other side in a sinner that is open to God if the right person gives the message. Then we learn that the very government says, I'll participate. Listen to me. I may only get to this part. The government says, I will participate in helping you get a miracle from an enemy who says they are have the only one true and living God. I'm going to send you a letter that makes it clear that I believe this to be something that can happen. And that is miraculous. That everybody that has a problem is still participating in God's plan. Verse 8. God always uses people in his plans. But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, because he heard it and said, I can't fix this. He sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? He didn't ask permission from the government to tell them or to speak to them. The man of God goes to the king without any other position than a man of God and said, why are you doing that? Why are you acting this way? Why are you tearing your clothes? Why are you handling a problem in this manner? He said, let them come now to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. Look, saints, they got our address. You want some sinners to come show up? But I love how I don't care, church, listen to me, if you're on the HR committee or not at work, if you have any authority, or maybe you don't feel like you have authority in your own home. When someone is not acting appropriate, if they're the president of the United States, the Congress, the Supreme Court, they ain't acting appropriate. The highest ranking authority now switches. When the earthly authority, when the kingly authority go left, then the righteous authority has to step in without an invitation, without a position. And you step in there. Devil. You step in there without an invitation, and you know what you do? You say, all right, y'all not thinking right. You guys are acting like we're a godless nation. But we're a nation under God. In God we trust. And because you have forgotten it at the governmental level, let me help you understand. Send them to my house, I can fix it. Send your problems and your struggles to the church. The church has solved health problems for years and years and years. The hospital system started here. Who you think's burying the dead? The church is the pillar in a community. Well, do you go to church? I don't really go. You need to go, because who gonna bury you? Who gonna marry? Look, still, do you know where the majority of marriages still take place in the church? That's why we don't have to worry about rulings. Just keep it out the church. See, catch that. Because we believe in holy matrimony. And if most marriages are happening in the church, the only thing we've got to do is maintain the right spirit. But he wasn't invited. Bring it to my house. So now Naaman showing up with his chariots. He's showing up with his horses. Man.
And verse 10, and Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry, and he went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and then cure my leprosy. I thought he would call me down on the prayer line and put his hands on me, get the anointing all out. I thought he would say something a little bit more specific than quote me a scripture from 2 Kings saying something that happened to another woman and saying that's going to happen to me and telling me to say amen. That was all in there? Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not just wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Anger is what he started out with. It will turn to malice, and malice will turn into wrath. See, if he would have left and went in rage, he could go back to the king who already hated the king of Israel, and it could have started a whole war. Yeah, they didn't help you. You mean to tell me that God didn't heal you? Started a whole war. God has a word given to us. Old church mother, Mother Boyd. I love Mother Boyd. Mother Boyd, we were sitting in a meeting one time, and she said, baby, I want everybody in this congregation, you get you some paper and a pen out. Yes, Mother. She said, now write down your top 10 problems that you've been having. Write them down right now. Hurry up and write it down. She said, okay. And she said, now ball that paper up. She said, and I want you to throw it over your right shoulder. Right, do it right now. I remember this day because about 5 people threw their paper. I was one of them. She said, hear the word of the Lord. Everybody that threw their problems to the Lord, they're going away. The rest of y'all going to be with your problems. This serious. That's what I started thinking. You see, anytime you marginalize God's system, the prophet, the guy standing here, if he even wasn't me, he doesn't have any rights to speak what he wants, what he thinks, what he feels. He only gets to speak what the Lord says. And when the Lord says it, that settles it. So if he tells you to go get it in the muddy Jordan versus the crystal clear Pharpar waters, because you don't want to get down off your chariot and your high horse and do some little activity. Now you get mad at the things of God. So finally, the little girl had to, or we didn't say the little girl, but it says servant. I just like to think that it's her. She says this, but his servants, well, it could have been her plus son because it was plural, came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he not actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him. And he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Amen. You see, the miracle was to me that the little slave girl convinced a raiding army commander and his king to go on enemy territory, to not meet with the government, but to meet with a man of God that can tell him what to do, even though he already thought his gods were better, his land was better, his people were better. But because he humbled himself to God, to the people, and to the land, he was clean. And not only was he clean, he realized that this power came to help me realize that there's only one true God. I know that when we think about miracles, we think about what we can get. It's rare that we think about what we have to give. And I know it's easy during a season coming to the end of one thing and the beginning of another to assess yourself and assess what you can get. But maybe God wants you to give some other people a chance at getting a miracle that'll help them come to know him. Ministry team, come down. Lord, I pray that as we leave, you will go with us. You'd help us end this year not thinking about ourselves and how life could be better for us. But I pray, God, that we would focus on how life could be better for others. Yes, miracles are available for us. We can flag you down. But there are so many in this world who don't even know to call on you. I pray, God, that we would be a light in the dark and crooked and perverse generation. That wars can be averted because a general gets saved. That because a general got healed at the word of a slave girl, an insignificant person in society, life changed. Bless us as we leave this place for not your presence. Keep us in the center of your will and your apple, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need any prayer whatsoever, we're right here for you. Give God a hand clap of praise. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Oh.